Our next pericope is Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. It comes from the NRSV. It is the Revised Common Lectionary passage for March the 13th. Gary, would you read it for us, please?
Yes, I'd be happy to. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside or away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under his wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Okay, Gary, what stands out to you from this passage?
Well, it's a little bit complicated. Again, the context is important. So we have these, Pharisees coming to them, and I think it's another kind of test where Jesus turns the table. But again, we're primarily to learn about him, who he is, and what he's up to. And so in order to do that, in order to receive his word, you have to let him turn the tables and set the terms. The Pharisees try to set the terms of the discussion, but Jesus has none of that. He is Lord. He will not have them lord it over them, because they are not lords. And so he turns the whole thing around on them to get them to question, to ask the question, who is this then of him? And rather than them questioning him and trying to get on his good side.
So taking this text at face value, it seems like the Pharisees are actually trying to protect Jesus instead of the normal course of action. Based on what you just said, I'm curious, what's really going on here?
Well, we don't really know exactly. All right, so when you have Pharisees coming, we know that some Pharisees in the end ended up believing. Not a small number, but certainly not a huge number of them. But it might be a mixed multitude. So some may have been kind of more, well, let's help Jesus out. And others is, let's see if we can get on his good side and appear as if we're on his side, but we're not really. So we don't know. But Jesus doesn't even bother to kind of figure that out exactly. And we don't need to either. And so, yes, where they start, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And of course, Herod was viewed as, the opposition to the Pharisees. Herod was more aligned with the Sadducees. So many of them, some of them who came to him may have had a secondary, agenda, a hidden agenda here, trying to get him on their side against Herod. We don't really know. But Jesus, notice, as usual, he doesn't answer their question because it's not the right question. See, I mean, Jesus is always saying here's the right question. You're asking the wrong question. I'm here to tell you what the right question is. I'm here to be the right question. I'm the one you need to be asking about here and not protecting. So Jesus doesn't need their protection, right? So notice they come to him and recommend what he does. Get away from here. And Jesus says, he said to them, go and tell that fox for me. You see, who's in charge here? Mm-hmm. So Jesus then directs them, go and tell that fox for me. And he doesn't even use the strongest language, but he tips his hand, yes, that trusting that Herod would be the wrong thing to do. Yeah, that's right. But see, it's a small thing for Jesus. Do you think he knows that? He doesn't need to be told. So now, no, notice next, he starts talking about himself. Listen, hear. Listen to me. Don't tell me. Listen to me. Are you going to? Now, some of the Pharisees may have, and some of them probably, well, didn't. Listen, I am casting out demons. So what does that tell you about me? And performing cures today and tomorrow, not just one-offs here and there. I am the one who brings healing. Who does that come from? What does that tell you about my relationship with the God that you claim to know? That should tell you something. Does it? So you see, what he's telling them raises the question. It forces them to deal with, well, forces them. It invites them strongly. It confronts them with the question, who am I? And then it seems to me this the third phrase here is a bit of a parable. And on the third day, I finish my work. Mm. Right? And they're going to ask, the third day of what? Mm-hmm. When is that going to happen? I think he sets that out there that for those who are really honest seekers of the Pharisees, they will wonder about that. Maybe some of them, maybe Nicodemus, will come to him and ask him more about that, that third day thing. But of course, on the actual third day after he's crucified, maybe some of them, he planted a seed in their hearts and in their minds. On that third day, I finish my work. And they may reflect and be given another opportunity by the Holy Spirit to see who Jesus is and put their trust in him as the Son of God, who's the Savior of the world. That's who he is, who he's related to, and why he's come. Well, he does go on here. Well, I think that's what's happening between him and the Pharisees. He's making himself the issue, turning the tables on them, and exercising his authority in this parabolic way to get them to ask the right question and to pay attention to him.
Well, hopefully I asked the right question here, unlike the Pharisees. So we read about our Lord Jesus' heart for Jerusalem. What can we take away from that?
Right. So verse 34, he goes on, right? And now kind of we hear his thoughts out loud, right? So this Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and that repeated, right, shows this kind of longing and agony. The city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. See, he's already anticipating what's happening. Sorry, this is Luke 13. So this is on in his ministry compared to the first pericope we read, which is at the beginning. He knows what's happening here and how people are responding, especially the leadership. And so he's aware of that. But then he tells us more, not only that he's aware of the danger that is before him, but yes, he tells us of his heart. I desire to gather your children together. That is those who belong to Jerusalem, of course, and its temple, those who worship the God who is worshiped in Jerusalem. And his very presence is represented there in the Holy of Holies in the temple. How often I have desired to gather your children together. And here a very touching metaphor as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and then the agony, and you were not willing. So we see right into the heart of Jesus and therefore into the heart of the Father and the heart of the Spirit, desiring to gather and yet seeing the resistance to him. So we see right into his heart, but they are rejecting, they are resisting God's grace in person, in person. And of course, others of Jesus' parables say the same thing, right? When the owner of the field comes and not the servants and the slaves, and they kill the son, not the servants. So many of them point in the same direction as this. But yes, this shows us the heart of the Father, the heart of the Son, the heart of the Spirit.
Yeah. And as we look at the heart of the triune God, we like what we see so very much.